Make it my sole delight that in my secret heart no other one compares, no other God contests, and I'll serve only you to keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. This is my prayer, O Lord. Make it my sole delight that in my sacred heart no other one compares, no other God contests, and I'll serve all. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for how you bless us always with your word. Thank you because once again, you open up our eyes so that we behold the wondrous things in your word. You instruct us as we are prayed tonight. And we know what to do. We know how to do it. Thank you for making the word alive. Thank you for filling it with your power. Thank you because it transforms us from glory to glory. And we give all the praise and the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quickly go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Is it? No, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we're talking about what? Spirit-controlled life. Amen. Spirit-controlled life. Can I hear you say spirit-controlled life? How many people were here? Two Thursdays ago, I believe, was when I started that, and I hope I can wrap it up today. How many people were here two Thursdays ago? Now next step. How many people have listened to it? Because it's available. So even if you were not here, you had the chance to listen online, go to the website, download, and all of that. Any message, you can always catch up on it. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, are you there? So we're going to read from verse 16. Welcome to Booster Service, which is a teaching service, teaching midweek service of a church. Good to see serious Christians come to church on Thursdays. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, there are people who will have good reasons not to be here, but there are people for whom it just doesn't feature. It's just not part of the itinerary for the week. It's not as if they can't make it. Those are the unserious ones. Hallelujah. So Galatians 5, are you there? Verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. I think even when you pronounce these ones, it sounds nicer and softer in your mouth. When you try pronouncing them, it sounds, you know, revelry, envy, outburst of wrath. You know, those ones, they bring out some force from your mouth. This one comes out smoothly like very nice chocolate. Amen. You know, so it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still going to do quite a bit of reading, but this is just, I want to make sure, because I'm going to read that to you. Maybe I should just do that right away in the Amplified. And you can still try to follow. But I want to make sure that I really, really say certain things. So I'm going to try to stick and go back and look at the notes so that I say certain things that I think should be said. Okay, so it says in the Amplified now, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, that is, the human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from what you desire to do. But if you are guided, that is led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the doings or practices of the flesh are clear, they are obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger or ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirits, that is, factions, sex with peculiar opinions and heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, or gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness or benevolence, and faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and humility, self-control, self-restraint, or continence. Against such, there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, that is the godless human nature, with its passion and appetites and desires. If we live, verse 25, by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're looking at a Spirit-controlled life, and the question is, this is an instruction, okay? If you look at verse 16, it's an instruction, it's a command. I used to have a Bible that had all kinds of exclamation marks and all kinds of, pointers or things that can, little signals here and there in order to help you understand and get some simple revelation from God's word. Why do I say that? Because if I read Galatians 5:16 and it says, walk in the Spirit that you may not fulfill the lust of the flesh, it's very easy to read it and just glide over it, okay? But when you read it and you think about it, and if you had that kind of Bible that I used to have, it was hard copy Bible in those days, when you have that, maybe I need to find it. If I can remember the name, I need to find it electronically. When you have that, it tells you the kind of tone with which this was said. So walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is not an advice. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a command. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a command. So when you read that, it will indicate for you that it will put a sign there that tells you this is a command. You have been commanded to do something or to live in a particular way. Can I have an amen? You know, when I was younger, we would talk about people and we say, all those terms seem to have disappeared. I had a friend, we call him RHS. You know, RHS means recreated human spirit. That means this guy is spirit. This one is a spirit. He's no longer like us. He just flows as a recreated human spirit. He doesn't live like everybody else lives. Okay? We talk about people and we say this one is spirit gong gong. I remember I ever had that kind of terminology before. You say this one has spirit gong gong, you know. But those things seem to have disappeared. And it used to be a compliment. Amen. When he says spirit gong gong, aha, it's a compliment. Now we talk about how cool the person is. But the question is that when you are spiritual, which is what we're talking about, and you live a spiritual life, that's a spirit-controlled life, what does it look like? So what I've been teaching last Thursday and this Thursday is trying to address that. What does it look like? And how do I enable that kind of living, you know, on a consistent basis? Okay? When I first got an apartment in Lagos, you know, this was the second place. Okay, so people don't know I've lived in all kinds of places in Lagos. Amen. I lived first in Ebute-Meta. No, I lived in Gbagada. I squatted. Then I lived in Ebute-Meta. Then I lived also in Gbagada, but Sholuyi. Then I lived in Antony before now. So in my how many years sojourn in Lagos, I have been in different places in Lagos, okay? So this was the first place, the first apartment that I had in Lagos, or that we had in Lagos. I don't think it wasn't as big as this place. I don't think it was, if you cut it off from the pillars here, down there, I'm not sure. Do you think so? That's why I know the place. Do you think it's as big as if I cut this whole place across? You know, it might make it. Yes, it forms a way. Okay, up to that point, it won't reach the back. Okay, so that's where we were. My wife and I and our two children, you know, that's the first apartment we got in Lagos. And I remember that morning he had a duplex in front, and this was now the back part, which had two bedroom flats. So we were staying beneath, and then there was another couple upstairs. And in the morning, okay, so all these people, you know, so everybody packs their cars. That was also just before I had the first SUV, you know, which was a gift. And someone said, look, I have this SUV. I don't want it anymore. I just got it. Would you buy it for so much? You know, which was really a giveaway. And you know my fear? My fear was, I'm not sure I can afford to maintain it. You understand that it's great, looks like a great miracle, and that is common sense. Are you with me? It's common sense, you know, because there are certain things that can drag you into serious wahala. So you say, oh, it's a gift, but the thing will broke you, okay? So I looked at it and I said, ah. So I thought about it, and one day God said, if I'm the one giving it to you, then I will help you maintain it. Okay, so I said, okay, fine. So I took it, and that was the vehicle I had then. And so this morning, I was parked there, I woke up in the morning, I went to wash my car. And while I was washing the car, the two upstairs, they also had, you know, an SUV and all that. And I was washing the car, and I like children. So, I mean, virtually, as we were moving in, I had known almost all the children around, not just in our compound, opposite us, you know, I greet them, I like children, you know, children are my good friends. So this boy began to talk to me, little boy. So as I was washing the car, he was talking to me. And because we were new, so this boy said to me, he says, Uncle, you're a pastor. You know, as we spoke, he just looked at me and said, you're a pastor. Ah, fear gripped my heart first, you know. I first thought to myself, hey, I hope God didn't show this boy, you know, he had some revelation or something that, how would he know, you know, because when there was no way, and if you know me, I usually would not tell you anything, even I go to meetings, I go everywhere, all over the world, I won't tell you anything, I just come in, and myself, and all that, the only thing is that you will start realizing something is different, you know, and after a while, we will get there. You know, except for social media now, that people go and Google you and check you up and all that. But if you don't do that, you won't do anything. So when he said that to me, and he said, you're a pastor. I first kept quiet. Because I was searching that, did he have a dream? Was it a vision? Was it a revelation? I looked quickly around the car. I don't have stickers, you know, that can reveal anything. So I looked at the boy. I thought, what will I say to this boy? So I just said to him, why? I said, why do you say so? Why do you say so? You know, as if it's not so. And the boy says, because you have a Jeep. So I know that's not the answer you expected, isn't it? Yeah, so if you can imagine even me thinking that this boy was in the spirit and all that, and being careful about what I say, that God showed this boy something, you know, maybe he has a message, he wants to deliver something, you know, all that thought. So when I say, why? Is it because you have a Jeep? You know, then I said, but what do you mean by because I have a Jeep? I said, your dad has a Jeep? He said, yes, and he's a pastor. So I failed. He said, and he's a pastor too. And I mean, there was no answer to give him anymore. Why am I saying that? Is that we have certain things we use to assess people that are not correct. Are you with me? We have certain things, certain parameters by which we assess spirituality, we assess the calling, we assess Christian, this one is a good Christian and all of that. This one walks in the spirit. If you know that guy walks in, you know. And some of those parameters we use may not be as accurate as we have taught them to be. So that's one of the things we began to establish the last time. Are you with me? I see the clock running. It looks like it's faster tonight than it used to be. Amen. So there are certain key things when you begin to read this scripture. Is that one of the first things you see, I mean, some of it might sound like a repetition of the last time, and I will try not to say too much, but except I'm open to God. Okay, so one of the first things you see is that walking in the Spirit is something that we decide to do, and it's something we can develop as a habit. Are you with me? That's why I read the Amplified one. It says, walk habitually in the Spirit. So it means that it's something that I can do. It's a decision, number one. I'm commanded to do it. But there's an element of my personal decision that this is what I'm going to do. Because if I'm commanded to do anything, it means that I have the capacity to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the Bible says, for instance, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, beloved, these things I write to you that you sin not. It means that it's possible to sin not. Amen. So when it says walk in the Spirit, if I'm commanded to do that, I have the capacity. Whether I knew it before or not, it automatically means that capacity is inside me. If it says bless them that curse you, it means that capacity to do that is inside of me. Otherwise, it will be an unfair instruction. Are you there? But what am I saying is that, one, it has to be a decision. I have to make up my mind. I'm going to live the Spirit-controlled life. And I have to also see that it has to be a habit. I have to consistently cultivate it. I have to cultivate it to start with. And I have to keep it going. Are you with me? It means that whether I cultivate that lifestyle and whether I continue to live like that is in my hands. Hallelujah. So if I don't do anything about it, then nothing happens. Actually, when you see my messages, I have, okay, on the website, we have messages that are saved. I discovered recently, and I was initially told, just up to 2019. We used to have many years back on the website. But I have virtually all my messages saved, you know, because I type them. I type my notes, and I have everything saved. And I save them in folders, okay? So I have different titles for the folders. So one of the folders I have is one folder that I call Lifestyle. So a message like this, I put it in Lifestyle. Meaning these are the kinds of things that you need to live by. This is not something you do once. This is not something you do sometimes. This is something that has to become a lifestyle with you. Amen. It says, what does walking in the Spirit mean? I mean, seen in the Amplified. The Amplified says we should walk and be what? Responsive. Hallelujah. I'll read that again to you in verse 16. It says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to, meaning you get the signals. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, you get it. And you respond accordingly. Amen. Controlled and guided by the Spirit. Responsive to, controlled and guided by the Spirit. Meaning that everything you do, this is not about church behavior. Amen. The spirit-controlled life is not church behavior. Hallelujah. You know, many people, when they come to church, as they say, they have their best behavior. They put on their Christian behavior. But outside of church, they are completely different. Have you ever looked for anybody before when you say, ah, I came to look for so-and-so, you're asking people, and you say, I'm looking for brother so-and-so, they say, who? You say, brother so-and-so, they say, hey, your brother, and Kurome. You know, first remove the brother from it, hey, Joe. Is it the same beginning that we're talking about? They will mention even the middle name. You say, yes, they say, please remove the brother from it. You mean he goes to church? Are you there? So the spirit-controlled life is how I live in general. That's what it is, a lifestyle thing. Can I have an amen? And it means that I need to develop a lifestyle of being responsive to the Holy Spirit, or being controlled by the Holy Spirit, or being guided by the Holy Spirit. How often do you do things, at work, in the market, and all of that, and you just suddenly have a prompting? And you decide according to your prompting within you, it's not going to be done this way, I'm going to do it this way. You may not have to explain it to anybody why you decided to go that way, but you knew within you that what happened was I checked within me and I knew that I shouldn't do it like this, I should do it like this, and I just went that way. And in fact, it begins with how often are you yourself paying attention to the Holy Ghost? You know, because it begins with that. It begins with, that's what we call the lifestyle. That's what we call the habit. It's the habit that wants to know. Some time ago, I preached on the habit of inquiry. That is the habit that David had, the habit that wants to ask God before decisions are made, before steps are taken. That habit in itself is essential for the believer. Can I have an amen? That you constantly want to be in God's will, and you therefore constantly want to ask God, whether you are speaking and we can see you, or you are just searching within you. Remember in the book of Genesis, Abraham sent that his servant and said, go get a wife for Isaac. How many people remember that story? Okay, so he sent his servant. You don't remember the story. He sent his servant and said, go get a wife for Isaac, you know, from among my people, blah, blah, blah. And the servant said, okay, how will I know? He said, God will go with you. God, my God will go before you, will guide you and all of that. And the man got there, and when man got to that town, he began to pray. And he said, God, let it be, you know, that whoever it is will come, will give me water, and will also, will offer me water, but will also offer even my camels and donkeys and whatnot water. Okay? So the man sat by the well, and Rebecca came. Rebecca came and offered him water. One click. Now, this is just an illustration about something else, okay? This is not about fleecing God. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost was not within. Can I have an amen? So they needed to be putting out fleeces like Gideon. Let this place be wet. If what you told me is correct, let it be wet here, and let all the surrounding be dry. Then it happens. Say, God, don't be angry. Let's reverse it now. Now let that spot be dry, and let everywhere else be wet. Then I will know that it's you. We don't operate that way. How are we led? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. That's called fleecing. It came from Gideon's story. We don't fleece God. Can I have an amen? We are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says 6:17 also, that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So we don't go by, if I come out, the first guy that smiles at me, let him be my husband. I'm sorry for you. Or the one that offers to pay my transport fare. The devil will pay your transport fare, eh? If you are not careful. Are you with me? So you have to know. But check out this guy, and that's why I'm talking about this guy. So this guy is fantastic. I like him. That's Abraham's servant. I like him. He's fantastic. So the guy sits there. Everything he had prayed about. Rebecca comes. Rebecca offers him water. Wow. Then she says, because it's not an easy task. We can teach. I think we've had teachings on that before. You know, even relationship-wise, okay? Because he then says, not just me, but let the person offer the camels. Wow. You know what that is? That's a hard-working, virtuous woman. You will offer camel water. Whack, mommy, man. You know what I mean? You will draw plenty of water. How many people have ever drawn water before? All of you are, you know, or which ones of you, your hometown is Ikoyi? Eh? Are you there? You know, so you, if you, you've drawn water, then you are now drawing water for camels. Camels, they, it's like they are a tanker, water tanker. So she then says, let me draw for the camels also. So the guy put up good characteristics. He will basically say, I want a good lady. Are you with me? Nice, hospitable, hardworking, virtuous, a real homemaker. So that's what he was looking for, okay? But he was putting out fleeces. And Rebecca checked out. But guess what? After that, she offers, takes him to the house, and everything was working out good. The family says, oh, great, 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 we'll do this, this, this. You know what the guy did? While all these things were checking out, you know what he did? The Bible says he stood and checked within himself whether God had prospered his way. You know what that meant? It meant the guy was still pondering that, God, I see she's doing everything that I said to be done. But God, is this really you? Are you with me? Is this really you? And we need to do that. I don't even know why I went in that direction. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yeah, I went there in that direction because of spirit-controlled living. That we need to do that in every area of our lives. We need to be stopping to check and say, God, is this you? God, how do I do this? How should I write this? How should I teach this? How should I, you know, how do I solve that problem? That's spirit-controlled living. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, I just also remembered it was on radio on Tuesday. So if you listen to that, you'd have caught the first part. Hallelujah. Number two thing you will see in that text that we have read is that there's no neutral. Huh? There's no neutral. It says, walk in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Huh? For the two are opposed to one another. What is he telling you? If you don't live this way, as a spirit-controlled person, you will fall into carnal lust. You will be controlled by the flesh. You will have problems with the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's either you choose to live this way, or you will automatically go this way. There's no neutral. You know what he taught us then? I'm able to know Humpty Dumpty. Humpty, you're a teacher, you have to know. Humpty Dumpty was sat on a wall. I had a great fall. Could not put Humpty Dumpty together again. I have a sermon titled Humpty Dumpty. From many years ago, I have a sermon titled Humpty Dumpty. So Humpty Dumpties are the people who sit. They try to stay in the middle. They are not Christian. They are not unbeliever. Are you with me? What are they? Only God knows. Are you still with me? And that's why only God can be God. You get what I'm saying? I mean, if you give me the pass to enter heaven, some of them, there's no way they can enter. I lied. They cannot enter. I can't give them that pass. I lied. I'm born again. I say, like, a war. I lied. So only God has the pass. Can I have an amen? Because only God can identify them. And truly the Bible says that. It says the seal of the Lord stands sure. Are we? That the Lord knows those who are his. Only God knows that. Can I have an amen? But what am I saying? Second thing you will see there is that there's no neutral. You have to choose to live. Or you have to choose to live the spirit-controlled life, otherwise you will disappoint yourself in how you will end up living. Are you hearing me? It's like you have two forces. It's like you have two forces. One is pulling you that way, one is pulling you this way. And what the Bible is saying is what? Exactly that. It's saying that they are opposed to one another. One is pulling you in that direction, the other one is pulling you in the opposite direction. So if you decide I will yield and pull myself in this direction along with this force, then you will not be going this direction. It says, but if you decide you are not going in that direction, you will automatically go in this one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I hear you say there's no neutral? So it's not very difficult to fall into sin. Are you with me? It's not very difficult. Do nothing about living a spirit-controlled life, and you will live a sinful life. You know, sinful means full of sin. Eh? Some of these things are very, very simple. You play with the words, you understand it. So when it says sinful life, you will live a life full of sin if you decide not to live a spirit-controlled life. The good news is that if I also decide and I pursue a spirit-controlled life, I will break away from a sinful life. Are you getting what I'm saying? I will break away. I'm choosing my words carefully. Meaning that as I pursue my spirit-controlled life, I will just suddenly find out that sin begins to fall off me more and more and more and more, until one day even me, I'm looking at myself and I can't recognize myself. And I'm like, is this me that used to do this? Is it me that used to do that? Is this me that used to live like that? But the error we have made very often is that we have tried with all of our willpower and effort to try to break away from sin. Whereas we should put all of our willpower and effort in living the spirit-controlled life, and breaking away from sin will be automatic. Are you with me? I said, are you there? Romans 8:13. Galatians 5:16. Let me read that to you in another translation. You see what I'm saying? Galatians 5. What did I say? 5:16. Read the Passion Translation. It says, let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. I'll take that again. Let me emphasize this. Galatians 5:16, TPT, Passion Translation. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your flesh. Hallelujah. Okay, now go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. So look at verse 13. It says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What I want you to see is that phrase, if by the Spirit. Can I hear you say, by the Spirit? So it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh. So how do I put to death the carnal nature and the deeds of the flesh? I do it by the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there are some phrases that helped me as I grew up in Christ. One of them, or descriptions, one of them is that flies don't settle on a hot pot. Are you with me? Flies don't settle on a hot pot, not even on hot food. Huh? When the food is steaming hot, no matter how much the fly likes it, it cannot stay there. Are you with me? When you're on fire for God, sin can't be on you. Are you with me? When you are, as you burn for God, you find out that sin has to stay off. Hallelujah. Has to stay off. So the real problem is not a sin problem. The real problem is a spirit-controlled life, or a lack of a spirit-controlled life problem. Is that we are not on fire, we are not living in the Spirit as we should, and that's why we are having problems with sin. Are you still there? You become quiet. When I say, just be smiling and be looking forward, I'm saying, yes, amen. So nobody knows I'm talking about you. Amen? They won't know which one affects you or not. Hallelujah. You just say, amen, and you can even go, preach it! Hallelujah. Are you there? I think I'll have to wrap up again on my introduction. But what I will do next time, for sure, and that for sure, I make the sign of the cross. that will be the last one on this teaching. But are you getting something? Number three thing you will see in Galatians 5, 16 to 25, more or less that we read, is that you have to, there's something else I need to say about that one, is that when you look at it very well, and we talk about habits and cultivating habits and sustaining a habit, it means that this spirit-controlled life, there's a phrase I used, I said, it's not a destination. It's a lifestyle, not a destination. What do I mean? You don't say, I've arrived. Huh? You don't say, I've arrived. When you arrive, you know, when you arrive, it means I don't need to do anything anymore. I'm there. But if this is supposed to be a continual way of living, when you say, I'm there, I've arrived, then you're in trouble. Because what got you there is what should keep you there. And if you don't continue that way, then you'll find out, that's when you'll find out that as spirit, as anointed, as this and that, that person is, he's now living in sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? What happened to that person? He stopped living the spirit-controlled life. So you can be that way some days, and if you let go and you are not putting in the habit, because habits have to be sustained. Are you with me? Habits have to be fed to be sustained. If you don't feed a habit, it's going to die. So live habitually in the spirit is a habit. If you don't feed it, it will stop. Are you with me? You know, when people are addicts, I don't know what you know about, you know, dealing with a drug addict. They go to a place and they call it, they say the person went to what? Rehab. Rehab is short for rehabilitation. Okay, what happens in rehab is that basically you are going to isolate that person from that substance. I mean, sometimes, and because you are isolating them, their body is used to what that substance does. When you isolate them, in the next few days to weeks, that guy will almost go crazy because of that deprivation, because he's not getting the alcohol, he's not getting the cocaine, or he's not getting the tobacco or whatever. He's almost going crazy. Someone will start pulling their hair because he is so addicted to that substance. But guess what? That is what you must do. And if you are able to do that long enough, that habit will start to die. That guy will get over that wild state where he feels like, I will kill myself if I don't get this thing. Okay? And then after a while, he starts adjusting. It might take him 1 year in rehab, but if he goes through with it, then he comes out, and that's why people will tell you, oh, this is my fifth year, you know, away from XYZ, because he broke it. It took him a while, but he broke the habit. How did he break the habit? He starved the habit. Are you with me? That's why the psychiatrist, if they carry you, you know, somebody is on drugs, the family bundled him and took him to rehabilitation, the chances of success are not as high as if the guy walks into the place himself and says, I'm tired of living as an addict. I want to be free. When he walks in himself and he says, I'm tired. I want to be free. I want to check into rehab. The health professionals are happy and excited. What does that mean? It means that this guy's will is involved. He has thought about this. He has put his will behind it and says, I want to break this, or so to speak, I want to start a new habit of being without the drugs. So they know that the chances are higher. But if you bundled him and he was fighting and you were pyro, yeah, why don't we put the leg? You hold the gun and you carried him inside the place. They know that his will, his guy is saying, no, I can't do it. I'm not ready to. I can't. He's not likely to succeed. The moment you think that you succeeded, sometimes you put him out there, he goes right back into it. Are you with me? But when he has decided, I hope you got something from that illustration. Okay, so number three and the last point, what did I say? What's the last point that you get? Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 22. Is you have to study, okay? Study the characteristics of the works of the flesh and that of the spirit. And that's where I made the point. I think some of you like that point, that when you're a spirit-controlled person, you become more relatable. Are you there? What I want you to see when you study it, and take your time to look at those things that it lists there, and read them in different versions. We don't have the time tonight. I would have made us read them in different, maybe I'll do a bit of that in the Passion Translation, okay? Galatians chapter 5, so I can take some 5 more minutes, if that's okay. Are you all right? I say, are you all right? Are you still awake?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay, so look at it. In fact, let me just take from verse 22. So these are the characteristics, okay, when you are spirit controlled. Then it says, but the fruit of the spirit, because it's saying when you are spirit controlled, these are the things we see come out of your life, okay? So I'm supposed to be reading the Passion Translation. Okay, that's verse 22. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love. In all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. The big question I want to put to you is this. When you look at them, do you see that the spirit-controlled life begins to change your personality? Do you see that? Gentleness, meekness, love, joy. And it means that as all of us begin to yield and lead the spirit-controlled life, we all will seem to have a certain, certain traits in our personality that will seem to be the same. Are you with me? We all will seem like we are gentle people. We are kind people. We are loving people. So something begins to happen to your character, or let's call it your personality, as we like to say. So there's only what I don't believe in, when people begin to talk about some anger is their nature and all that. It says they are the work of the flesh. I only believe in the Christian personality. And there are certain traits that are common when you live as you should. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So it makes you relatable. One of the other scriptures you can deal with, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That will show you, because it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay? I taught on that some while ago, but sometimes when I'm teaching and my emphasis is something else, or the Holy Ghost emphasis is something else, I'm trying not to go in certain directions so that you don't, it's good, it's accurate, but I'm trying not to distract you there, okay? It says the fruit of the Spirit is. It says is. It didn't say ah. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So how do you mention so many times you say the fruit is? And that's why the Passion Translation says the fruit of the Spirit is love in its varied expressions. And then it then shows you the varied expressions. So all the other things are the varied expressions. Amen? And if that is the case, then 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what, or expands for us what that love is like. And remember what I said? It means that when you are spirit-controlled, you are relatable. So verse 4, I'm reading again the Passion Translation, 1 Corinthians 13, 4. It says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievement nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own love. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure or defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. Somebody said you need to go take 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, and probably in the Amplified Version. Write it out, print it out, do whatever, and stick it on your wall. Every morning, look at it and declare it and say, I am a love being because I am spirit controlled. And then you begin to declare, I am patient, I am kind, I am gentle, I am, amen? And if you do that for 3 months, woo, hallelujah, the new improved you will be amazing. Amen. So remember what we've said tonight, looking at the spirit-controlled life, we've again refashioned it. We didn't exactly repeat what we said the last time, even though this is still an introduction. I refashioned it into 3 key things to remember from that text of Galatians 5:16-25. And I said, remember that walking in spirit in the spirit is something that we decide to do and can or should develop into a habit. And we should sustain it also that way. I said, number 2, there's no neutral. It's one or the other. It's either you live a spirit-controlled life or you live a sinful life. But you can't have both. Hallelujah. So that's the choice. That's the only choice there is. There's no neutral. Okay? And number 3, you need to study the works of the spirit as listed in that text and that of the flesh. And you'll discover that the spirit-controlled life is basically first reflected in the fact that our person, our character begins to change. Amen? So the spirit-controlled life is not about the house psychedelic your tongues are. You know, hippo shaka haripos articalabosta. Then someone say, wow, that guy is spiritual. Have you ever heard his tongues before? His tongues sound like phone. Ah, his own tongues are, it must be very, no, that's not how. If it's your person, it's your person. Your person will be the first reflector of or the first sign of the spirit-controlled life. Amen. So I believe next time, apart from any recap, we'll talk about 2 things that you need to do regularly or always in order to live the spirit-controlled life. Remember what we said, it's a lifestyle, it's a habit that you should develop and sustain. So what are the things I do in order, or I should do in order to live that way and ensure that I live a spirit-controlled life. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that the next time. Let's stand on our feet, begin to talk to God. Like we said, it's a decision. So make a decision tonight. Make that decision tonight and say, Lord, this is how I'm going to live. I'm making a conscious quality decision. Kenneth Copeland says a quality decision is that one which you will never turn away from. You will never turn back from that decision. So make that quality decision and say, God, I hear you. And I'm making up my mind that I'm going to develop the habit of being spirit controlled. I'm going to live that way all of the time. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the supply of the spirit. Thank you for instruction in righteousness tonight. Thank you because people have heard. And beyond what was said, you always, always, as usual, shine your light on specifics for individuals. You point out specifics. You have spoken to us as a group, online, on-site, whatever. You've spoken to us as a group, but even much more than that, you've spoken to us as individuals. Thank you for your instructions tonight. Thank you for your direction. Thank you for also the grace to do it, because the power to do what is being said is always contained in your word. As we receive it, we receive that enablement also. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.